the sublimity of Christian chastity. There are so many virtues that we can and legitimately should meditate on as practiced and preached by the Savior. But I found one that surely needs articulation is the virtue of chastity. God worked the astounding miracle of a virginal conception for his Son by Christ being conceived of the ever-Virgin Mary. Throughout his life, Christ alone lived a life sacrificial, virginal chastity. He elevated marriage for the first time in human history to the level of a sacrament of the new law. And there is one virtue that is being tested, tried, maligned, and opposed, misrepresented, and those who believe in it persecuted. It is Christian chastity. I plan for this conference first a short introduction, then to ask ourselves what is chastity and what are the forms of chastity. Then we better say something about the principal sins against chastity. Then one at greatest length, why is Christian chastity so pleasing to God? And finally, how in the world that has gone sexually maniacal, how are we in every state of life as followers of Christ to practice Christian chastity? First, by way of introduction, sex indulgence is so widespread that we have to reassess our understanding of the virtue of chastity. And in speaking of this virtue, we can almost dispense with the adjective Christian. It was Christ, no one else in the history of the world, who not only taught or practiced, but prescribed on his followers the virtue of chastity. I think we may legitimately say that the acceptance or rejection of chastity in every state of life is a crucial norm for recognizing whether a person is a true Catholic or, and I make no apologies for the term, a pseudo-Catholic. A having known sin against chastity, is now widely accepted, defended, and committed, even in some still nominally Catholic circles. You had better understand, and my main focus is on the one. You had better understand, one, for almost 2,000 years, the Catholic Church has been uncompromising in her insistence on chastity in every state of life by every person as a condition for salvation. No one, that's the subject of the sentence, no one can be saved unless during their life on earth they have practiced chastity. Chastity is also a basic condition for holiness. There is no sanctity without chastity. We then ask ourselves a number of questions. First, what is chastity? Chastity is the virtue which controls our sexual desires according to the will of God. It is therefore, first of all, a virtue. And as such, it resides in the will. And the power we have to control our desires. As such, theologically speaking, chastity is a form of the virtue of temperance. You hear the word temperance, and the first thought that comes to most, well, at least English-speaking minds, is you know what? Well, between the two desires for alcoholic beverages and for sexual pleasure, there's no comparison between the demands on the human will of the practice of this temperance, namely the mastery of the single most powerful desire in man as a social being. The most imperative desire of man as an individual is, of course, for food and drink, without which the individual would wane, wither, and die. The stronger desire in man as a social being has to be, it is God-given to maintain the human race, is the desire to reproduce oneself. Chastity, we're analyzing the definition we just gave. Chastity controls our sexual desires, which are, and I repeat with emphasis, our strongest desire as social beings. That needs saying. see immediately if it is the most, however desire we have as social beings, unless this desire is mastered according to the will of God, unless this desire is mastered, society, as God wants it to be, cannot survive. It's still on the definition of chastity. Chastity controls our sexual desires according to the will of God as known to us. First, by reason, through the natural law. When, as the enemies of the Catholic Church blessed the Catholic Church for her stand on chastity, because she challenges the widespread promiscuity. They don't know what they're talking about. Millennia before Christ came and founded the Church, human reason recognized the need for mastery of this imperious passion. I tell people to go back to Aristotle. No Christian heed what he says about the four cardinal virtues, including here the virtue of temperance, and within temperance of chastity. Says Aristotle, no society can survive unless its citizens practice chastity. Is still on the definition. As willed by God, whose will is known by reason. But for us, we have a divine revelation, as known by faith, through God's revealed mandate, going back to the beginnings of the human race. And in the Judaic tradition, going back to the Mosaic law, the sixth and ninth commandments, centuries before Christianity. And then, it is our main focus. God became man to both practice and reveal. And the focus of our meditation is the sublimity of Christian chastity. Our next question. What are the forms of chastity? There are basically the following forms of chastity. For the unmarried, total control of sexual desires, forbidding any deliberate sexual arousal, or sexual indulgence, not only in the body, but even in the mind, imagination, or desire. The urges are there. The impulses are there. The drives are there. No sin in the drive, no matter how strong. No sin in the pleasure as such, provided my will does not either deliberately arouse the pleasure, or the pleasure having been aroused, my will is not with full conscious consent one. If I'm not married, I have no right to. Needless to say, there are not too many groups of men that I could talk this language and believe that I am being believed. They're asking, what are the forms of chastity? First then, unmarried chastity. Then, marital chastity. Yes, my friends, married people are to practice chastity. The pleasure which God has elevated to the level of a sacrament. Marital pleasure during intercourse is part of the sacrament of matrimony. And I prefer, when I teach the subject, to speak of it as the sacrament of matrimony rather than the sacrament of marriage. With our vagrant English language, most people wouldn't know the difference. But the church's official term for marriage as a sacrament is matrimonial. In other words, marital chastity is sacramental chastity. They are indeed not only permitted, as of the verb. He may say, they are expected, but in those rare, once in a decade, or maybe several times in a century, and husband and wife are they better mutually agree to not engage in marital intercourse. It is God's will. It is a responsibility. And in speaking to women, I emphasize the duty of marital intercourse. They're asking, what are the forms of chastity? The third form, for those dedicated to a consecrated life, not only no deliberate sexual pleasure, but the sacrifice of the prospect of marriage. So much for question two. Question three. What are the principal sins against chastity? I number them in my list. Masturbation, sexual pleasure by oneself, the Catholic Church teaches, fully deliberate, conscious, willful masturbation is a mortal sin.
invented yes.
Read one textbook after another. Nominally Catholic. If the subject would even be brought up. It is assumed, as the authors will tell you, this is normal. If you have the word normally sinful, all right. Without identifying the religion series on a high school level, I was asked to go through the manuscript and typical, dealing with masturbation, wolfing the subject in such a way that you could read almost anything you wanted to into what the authors allegedly said about this sin. And to their credit, they scuttled the already printed text of the first edition. Main reason. Second, fornication. Sexual pleasure between two unmarried persons. In strict theological language, that's the meaning of fornication. Third, homosexuality. Sexual pleasure difficultly aroused and indulged between two persons of the same gender. As long as I live, I'll never forget the picture of two lesbians in Holland in front of a Catholic church where they have just been, dare I say it, married. Fourth, contraception. Sexual pleasure between two married persons while deliberately preventing conception. I'd like to repeat it if I've said it before to you, young priest, ordained a couple of years in his blissful ignorance on a Sunday morning. How could a person be so stupid during a Sunday homily? He told the married people not to practice contraception. He was removed from the parish in 1 week. Sexual between persons, one of whom, at least one, is married. And therefore adultery is committed by both. If both are married, it is a doubly culpable adultery. is a sixth form of sinning as chastity. And although I'm not speaking to another retreat or religious or priests, when I call bound infidelity, strange language, let me use it. Where a priest has bound himself to a life of celibacy, man or woman, had vowed themselves to consecrate a chastity and to not enter even the sacred precincts of matrimony. Now, the biggest question, if I don't believe it, 16 answers. Why is Christian chastity so pleasing to God? The reasons are many, and they are drawn from both a natural law and from divine revelation. First reason was why chastity, Christian chastity, is so pleasing to God. Chastity is necessary to ensure the rational procreation of the human race. If that indispensable adjective, rational procreation of the human race, sins against chastity either prevent procreation, like masturbation, homosexuality, and contraception, or they foster irrational procreation, like fornication and adultery. In other words, I don't hesitate saying the single most demanding use of our God-given reason in the moral order is in the practice of chastity. And chastity, in the deepest sense of the word, is irrational. Second reason why Christian chastity is so pleasing to God. Chastity is a sublime form of adoration of God. The highest form of virtue that we can practice is to adore God. The highest form of adoration is to sacrifice to God. And for most human beings, the most demanding form of sacrifice is the practice of chastity. We sacrifice forbidden sexual pleasure as an acknowledgement of our total dependence on God and submission of our wills to Him. You see, behind chastity is the will. And I repeat and reemphasize what I've just said. virtue we can practice is adoration. The highest form of adoration is sacrifice. The most demanding form of sacrifice for most people is the practice of chastity. And the last analysis, in the very last analysis, when the mind is exhausted, all the possible reason I'm giving 16, I don't want to make sure that number 2 was here. Why practice chastity? Because God wants it. And who am I? Who am I to dare tell God what he should demand of me? Third reason. Chastity is necessary for the preservation of human society in which families come into existence and are maintained in peaceful unity. Let me repeat. We're asking, why is Christian chastity so pleasing to God? And we answer, because chastity is necessary for the preservation of human society in which families come into existence, and when these families are maintained in peaceful unity. And that is why, in case nobody ever told you, that is why, since the coming of Christ, monogamy is binding on the whole human race, and not only on Christians. Do you hear me? And the breakdown of family life, where our Holy Father calls, without identifying a member, he might just as well have, materially super-developed nations by families in such, what word shall I use? Chaos. You cannot even bring a family into being. You can surely not maintain that family in peaceful unity without chastity. Without chastity, there is no family. Period. Close the book. Chastity is a sure way of proving our love for God by conforming our wills to His divine will. Notice, this is saying more than as sublime as adoration is, as submission of my will so that my will controls my bodily passions. This is not only submission to the will of God, my dear. This is the love of God, my dear. I love God only as much as I practice the virtue of chastity. Chaste. If you're not, don't chastity is indispensable for keeping and growing in our love for others. Chastity is selfless love of others. And we repeat, chastity is indispensable for keeping and growing in our love for others. I really love someone only in the measure to which I am chaste in my love for that other person. Number six. Chastity is the foundation for all the other moral virtues: patience, justice, prudence, and fortitude. Number seven. Chastity is the precondition for humility, even as humility is necessary for chastity. What are we saying? We will be only as chaste as we are genuinely humble. And we're only as humble as we practice chastity. Centuries of the Church's experience, either I am truly humble, and God will then enable me to practice chastity, or there is no surer way of losing one's chastity than through pride. As St. Paul, he couldn't have been clearer in telling the Romans of his day, because they, the Romans, had refused to submit their wills to God by their pride. So what does God do? He grinds them into the dirt by removing from their wills, which refuse to submit to God, removing from their wills control of their bodily desires. Number eight, chastity is possible only through the grace of God, to be obtained through constant prayer and the frequent reception of the sacraments. There is no choice. Chastity is not a natural virtue. And there is one virtue that is, in the most profound sense of the word, supernatural, because it is superhuman. It is chastity, requiring grace from God to be obtained through assiduous prayer and the regular, frequent, and fervent reception of the sacrament. Over the years, in talking to religious, I told them, remove the Blessed Sacrament from your chapels, and I define you to remain faithful to your consecrated chastity for 1 week. We need grace, and we need the source of grace himself in the Blessed Sacrament. We need prayer. Unless we pray, there is nowhere known to God or man that we can either become or remain chaste. Number 9. Remember her answering the question, why is Christian chastity so pleasing to God? And her saying, chastity is absolutely necessary for achieving and maintaining a clear mind, an unchaste heart produces a confused mind. Took me years to learn that. I know no exceptions. The mind is only as clear as the heart is chaste, no more. Number 10. Chastity is the foundation for peaceful harmony among people. There can be no peace within people or between people without chastity. Every one of these sentences, I'm not exaggerating, deserves a book. I mean it. A book. Unchaste people are confused people. No wonder then they cannot experience or foster peace among themselves. Number 11. Chastity is indispensable for any true achievement in society. The great apostles of zeal and charity in almost 2,000 years of Christian history. I repeat, the great apostles of zeal and charity were giants of chastity. He will achieve and do great things for God only in the measure that we are honestly and sincerely chaste in our state of life according to the will of God. You may have heard Mahatma Gandhi, the liberator of his nation, which, as you know, he paid with his own life. Biographers, my own fellow Jesuits of India tell me, for the last 20 years of his life, Mahatma Gandhi, a married man, lived a celibate life. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not recommending, dear God, celibacy for married people. There is no more outspoken critic of contraception than what we still call the pagan Hindu, Gandhi. Achievement belongs only to chaste people. Number 12. Chastity evokes the highest form of selfless generosity. And of course, the two divinely revealed models of selfless generosity. For the Son of God in human form and his inviolate Mother Mary. Thirdly, I repeat and re-emphasize, chastity is a condition for salvation. Unchaste people will not reach heaven unless if they're not chaste now, they repent and do penance for their unchastity. And what God is, shall I say, trying to teach the unchaste societies of the world, shaking them to their foundations. Wake up, wake up. Unchastity, I hate. This is God speaking. And what God hates, he punishes. In this life, to arouse people to the realization of what they're doing. The most unusual day of recollection I've ever given as a priest was to the missionaries of charity in Washington when they were opening a house for the AIDS victims of the national capital. I spoke all day on the apostolate of dealing with the victims of homosexuality. And I'm pleased to report a man from Chicago, a multimillionaire, became involved in homosexual practice. Contracted the virus. His sister called me up and asked, do you think it's possible that I can convince my brother to have him live in Washington under the care of the missionaries of charity? I talked to the superior in Washington. I told her he was a multimillionaire. Yes, he'll be welcome. If he comes with only one suitcase and nothing else, in other words, none of his wealth, $18. I mean it. He died the death of a saint. Most of his days were spent in chapel before the Blessed Sacrament. Number 14. Chastity deepens our faith by giving us a clear and deep and absolutely certain belief in all the mysteries revealed to us by God. This is more than clarity of mind. This is depth of mind. I know. I've seen some great minds being debauched by their indulgence in sex and correspondingly the more faithfully practiced the virtue of chastity, the more clearly and profoundly and understandingly we will grasp and live the mysteries of faith. 15. You might say I'm repeating myself. Well, it's worthless. 15. chastity on earth is necessary for eternity in heaven. We are all immortal. Our souls will never die. The only question is where we will stand, our eternity. And finally, chastity is the one virtue we are to practice to imitate Jesus Christ by offering Him not only our wills, not only our minds, but our bodies. In our practice, one more question. Helen. I am 10 terms in my notes, just the word about each. First word is thoughts. Chastity begins in the mind. I will never control my mind better. I will never control my body unless I first control my mind. And the secret is locked up in an adder immediately. The moment the mind has thoughts that I know are not consistent with my state of life and the practice of chastity, away. Second reading. The number of books published each year, consciously and deliberately written and printed in order to arouse sexual passions. Just for the record, pornographic reading is a multi-billion-dollar business. Multi-billion-dollar business. Third, the odds. The eyes, we know, are the windows of the soul. What we see, we think. What we think, we want. What we want, we do. And again, a Christless world is doing everything it is, demonic power, to seduce our minds. Though, how heroically, shall I say, careful we must be, yet we must live in this world. Remember, seeing is not the same as looking. When I look, I use my will that I want to see. Fourth, conversation. An examination of conscience some people have to make. Whom we hold conversation with, about what, for how long, under what circumstances. True charity. There is no preservation of chastity without authentic charity. Sixth, prayer. He wants prayer. Not anyone aroused or tempted, but just plain prayer. To be forearmed. Seven sacraments. And that means plural, sacraments. Holy Communion and the sacrament of confession. Frequent. The Church has almost prescribed the frequency of the sacrament of confession for everyone by telling us you cannot gain a plenary indulgence unless you go to confession and communion within 8 days either before or after whatever good work the indulgence attached to it. Meaning what? To go to confession twice a month. And you know, I try to go to confession as often as possible. I was coming back from Rome, and a party was waiting for me at the Metro Airport in Detroit, and had a companion who was driving the car. He happened to be a priest. Late at night, I hadn't gone to confession yet, so I said, "Father, would you give me absolution?" He said, "What?" And I told him, I said, "Absolution." He still didn't get it. So then I took him aside and I said, "Look, I want to go to confession." "You mean here?" "Yes, here. I got my absolution." Eight, a Blessed Virgin Mary. And for us men, a tender, loving devotion to Our Lady is a guarantee of preserving ourselves in our state of life and the virtue of Christian chastity. Nine, humility. Pride leads inevitably. That's St. Paul. Inevitably. For the will is not submitted to God through pride, God will remove from the will its power to control the body. That's St. Paul. Humility. And finally, peace. Peace of mind is necessary to practice, especially in temporal chastity. So the mind is not disturbed, the emotions are tranquil, the will is serene. Because it is not for nothing that the Church calls the devil the demon of unchastity. The devil knows. And the more faithfully we try to serve God, the more the evil spirit will try to disturb us, knowing that a disturbed person, emotionally, mentally, or volitionally, is an easy prey to the demon of unchastity. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. The models of chastity in every state of life. And look in our minds that we may see how pleasing chastity is to the Sovereign God. But above all, grant us the strength we need to practice chastity in this life so they have a blessed eternity and the life to come. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I don't think I should apologize.
Amen.